Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Romans chapter 7. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some theologians would describe our text as a convoluted mess. They would say that Paul had flipped out or is writing with extreme emotion, and as a result produced a bizarre series of verses. Others would disagree with that assessment and say that Paul simply is describing his former way of life as an unbeliever. Both of those assessments are wrong. Paul is describing his present way of life as a regenerate person, as a convert, as a believer in Jesus Christ. And far from being a convoluted mess or a bizarre passage, these verses provide us with great comfort. Why? We see that Paul's struggle is our struggle. Paul describes exactly our lives as believers, and it is a comfort to us to know that he, the great apostle, went through exactly what we go through. What can be said about the struggle so vividly portrayed in our text? What can be said first is that Paul lost, and we lose in this struggle. Paul presents the reality of the believer being both the new person and the flesh. All people by nature before conversion are totally unregenerate, are totally flesh, flesh in the ethical sense. They are opposed to God, his enemies, fighting against him, inclined to evil, producing bad works. However, at conversion, God creates the new person who is holy and righteous and wants to do only what is right and pleasing to God. This part of us, which is born again, is regenerate, which becomes the new person, is our spirit. This new person is the real you, the real I, the real Christian. This new person is united with Christ. Nevertheless, a remnant of the old, original, sinful nature still clings to us as it did to Paul. This remnant is still called the flesh. This flesh clings to the believer like some foreign element. Because, again, the real believer, this new person, is the holy new person. The sad fact, and the strange fact, if you will, since the real Christian is the new person united with Christ, is that the flesh sometimes has its way in the believer's life. The willful flesh uses the members of the believer's body, internal and often external, for unrighteousness. In other words, in our text, Paul is saying that after his conversion, he still sinned. The same holds true for us. That is the dramatic, emphatic, inescapable message of our text. In this struggle between our flesh and our new person, we lose. The flesh has its victories. We are humbled by our text and reminded of the importance of daily confessing our sins to God. Our text also highlights for us Jesus Christ, whose works and whose works alone are saving. He, the very God-man, the promised Messiah, was the world's substitute. With his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his resurrection from the dead, Christ opened up for us and for all people the way of salvation. Through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness of our sins and everlasting life. Our text leads each one of us to a sober analysis, not only of ourself, but also of other believers. We ought not be surprised then when we see sin in each other's life, and even when a fellow believer sins against us. We see the need for being forgiving and practicing forgiveness, remembering that God has forgiven us. What else can be said about the struggle described in our text, besides the fact that we lose? This too can be said. We win. That is, our new person, the real you, the real I, emerges victorious over the flesh. In passing, we may note that the very fact that there is such a struggle in a person's life is a good positive sign. The unregenerate, unconverted person has no such struggle. He is totally flesh, completely mastered by sin. Only the regenerate person goes through what is described in Romans 7. We learn about the good news, especially from the context of our passage. Precisely speaking, from the preceding chapter 6 of Romans and the following chapter 8. With regard to chapter 6, Paul presents the gospel truth that the believer, according to his new person, which is in union with Christ and strengthened by Christ, can defeat the flesh. He can knock down the flesh, crucify it, hold it in check. More than that, the believer does so. The believer does good works and can increase in these good works. These good works, as we well know, are not saving. Rather, they are an expression of saving faith done for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. So the believer, in resisting the sinful impulses of the flesh, can say to himself or herself, the real I, the new person, does not want to do wrong. In the power of Christ, I'm going to slap down the flesh and do what is God-pleasing. What joy there is in resisting evil and doing what is right, in bearing fruit for the Lord, in gaining such victories over the flesh. Our text, therefore, encourages us to constant watchfulness, prayerfulness, dependence on the power of Christ and the use of word and sacrament. Through these means, Christ preserves and strengthens our faith and motivates and empowers us for godly living. As workers in the kingdom, we will see in the people whom we serve the potential for sin, yes. But in addition to that, we will also see their potential for serving God. We will want to make them aware of all the gospel facts, including Romans 6 theology. We will pray to be God's instruments, to lead them to bear fruit for the Lord and to grow in this. We will be such instruments through the faithful preaching and teaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. With regard to the chapter following our text, Romans chapter 8, there Paul presents to us another aspect of our victory over the flesh. Paul had written in chapter 7, who will free me from this body of death? Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, we suffer with Christ in order that we may be glorified with him. And the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We remember that only our spirit is regenerate, is the new person. The rest of us is corrupted by sin and is flesh in the ethical sense. As long as we believers remain in our mortal bodies, we, as new people, have to contend with the flesh. However, when we die, our new person, our spirit, goes immediately to heaven, and the flesh is gone forever. The flesh will be the loser. No more sinning in heaven. We will serve God in perfection. And on the last day, our bodies will be raised and made immortal and joined once again to our spirit. These resurrection bodies will be uncorrupted by sin, and they will be perfect. The members of these resurrection bodies will be used only for glorifying God in the life of the world to come. Perfection. That's something to look forward to. We rejoice in this future victory, which comes to us from the grace of God. Paul's struggle, described in our text, is our struggle. The fight between the new person and the flesh. In this struggle, we lose. We still sin. But through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness and salvation. And in this struggle, we also win. We emerge as victorious in this life and in the next. As our text says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name, amen.